the team that never lets you down. We're the only team old Carlton knows. With all the champions, they like to send us. We'll keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark blues.
A very good morning as you begin your footy weekend on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show every week is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club. Your hosts today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford and Paris Fabriziani. As always on the program, we look at all AFL and Blues news and review the remaining AFL round. Special guest live interview today is dual premiership player Barry Gill. Kate Jezelenko joins us for Kate's Plate, a dish best served cold. We cross live to the Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the much anticipated The Shirt Front. Provide information on WA Blues supporter events, the weekly whack, and anything else in football that we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Paris, we couldn't do this show without our loyal sponsors.
We thank WA Blues' major sponsor, Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors, Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers, and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lath Lane. And thank you to Barbara Butchers for their season raffle participation.
Thank you, Paris. Well, it's time to bring in our good friend Kate.
Disgusting, disgraceful.
Good morning, Kate. How are you this morning in Melbourne?
Good morning from beautiful sunny Melbourne.
It's good to hear.
Warm, sunny Melbourne.
You sure you're in Melbourne, Kate?
I am. The sun's shining. It's beautiful. Going to be 21 today.
And the good thing, too, I heard, the first time for a long time, under 100 COVID cases.
That's good, eh?
Yes, thank goodness.
Which is a good thing.
Fantastic.
To
seems the numbers thing. Are coming down, thank goodness.
Yes. Now, Kate, this is a very special weekend for us Carlton supporters, and I think I'm going to play this a lot today.
To the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, Jezelenko, you beauty!
I think this might get played a bit today on this show, because tomorrow we've got a big function at the Empire Bar for the WA Blue Baggers. We're going to have plenty there, too. By the
hope so. Fingers crossed.
And it's going to be a beautiful day, 22 degrees. Yep. We're going to have the great man, Sid Jackson, and it's the 50th anniversary of that great grand final win of the mighty Blues.
That's right. How
God,
exciting.
I hope we smash them tomorrow.
or a one-pointed win.
No, I'll drink too much if it's close.
Any win against them is going to be beautiful.
No.
So, Kate, on that note, as we're going to reminisce the 70 grand final a lot on today's show, what have we got on Kate's plate today?
On Kate's plate today, I'm serving up a big slice of celebration cake made with love, of course.
Ooh.
This week we celebrate 50 years since the mighty Blues came back from 44 points at halftime and won the grand final of grand finals against Collingwood. One of the most famous moments in AFL history happened that day. Jezelenko, your beauty! Let's hope another rising Carlton cult figure can put a Pies player on a poster this week. Maybe Kaz Bolt, you beauty. It's the biggest rivalry in the AFL, so coming back from 7 goals at halftime to win by 10 points must have hurt the Pies. So winning on Sunday against our arch rivals in our 50-year celebration since that game will be one hell of a celebration. Not only does it open up our final chances, but it'll put a roadblock on theirs, and that may just be the cherry on top of our celebration cake. So grab a bottle of champers and enjoy your big slice of cake on Kate's plate.
Beautiful. Well said, Kate.
That's your best one all year, Kate.
And again, just again.
To the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, Jezelenko, you beauty!
I told you that's going to get a lot of running on today's show.
It's funny. I'm on quite a few Facebook supporter group pages, and everyone has got that mark.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just awesome.
Everyone,
to see.
It's everywhere. Yeah, I've had that many phone calls this week. People wanting to talk to Dad, and he just will not do it.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you what's also good, Kate, is as you are aware, your great father is also the only player for the Carlton Football Club ever to kick 100 goals. And 50 years ago today, exactly today, he did it against Melbourne at the MCG.
Well, there you go. And something I've got very special, and I have to say a big thank you to a man called Gary. I had a call from Tony DeBolfo this week asking if I had any footage of Dad's 100th goal. And I'd actually never seen it. And he put it out on the Carlton fan page or something. And there was one man by the name of Gary who came forward and actually has the footage and managed to get it. So very, very special to our family. And thank him with all my heart from the whole family.
Yep, Kate, it's fantastic. It's actually on the Carlton website if people want to go and have a look at it. Gary went to the game with his old, I can't remember what those cameras were called.
The old video.
He filmed it, and if I remember rightly, I'm showing my age here, Kate. I know I was a young boy back then, but your father had so many shots to get that 100th and he kept missing, and the crowd was on the boundary line and they kept running on and he'd miss and they'd have to get off. So, look, it was...
I spoke to Gary last night to thank him, and he said he had to keep changing ends, so he was running up and back so he could get the shot. So, but anyway, very, very grateful for it.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Look, and people out there, if you haven't seen it, get on the Carlton website. It is good to see. It actually will show you Alex kicking, I think it's his 98th, 99th, and then the footage of his 100th. So have a look at that. It's fantastic. So, Kate, thanks for joining us again, and it's great to hear that Victoria, Melbourne in particular, are hopefully starting to get this thing under control.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
And they're very soon...
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed, and very soon you can get out and enjoy what most of the other parts of the country are. Look, we just need to get rid of this beast, and people need to social distancing still. Same as we do over here in Perth, even though we haven't had, touch wood, we haven't had anything for months and months.
Over 100 days.
It can come so quickly and so easy. So, look, just hope it goes away. And look, you take care, make sure your family do. And when you do speak to your father, give him a good shout-out from the WA Blues, because we think of him all the time over here, and he's an absolute legend of the Carlton Football Club. And I have to... Sorry, just one more.
Before you go.
Trust me, Kate. Trust me. In every 5 minutes or so, I'll play that today. At the end of the...
I hope Kane's listening today.
Oh, yes. I doubt it.
I thought he might have been at your house.
No. The borders are shut, thank God.
Won't let him in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you take care and good luck, and make sure your family's safe and well, Kate.
Yeah, no worries. Go the Baggers.
Bye, thanks, Kate. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Kate Jezalinko, that was a really, really, really good Kate's play today. I thought that was fantastic.
Seriously, I reckon that was her best one all year.
So do I. I think it's fantastic. Anyway, we better move on to some AFL news. Yes. Paris, what's in the AFL news?
In AFL news this week, a resolution on playing list sizes remains some way off, despite the AFL and AFL Players Association beginning discussions on potentially revising the collective bargaining agreement. Clubs are now prepared for any list scenario, from a reduction to 35 through to no change, however unlikely, to the average of 45 per club. It's believed the starting position in the negotiations between the AFL and AFLPA is 40, whether that's 38 on the primary list and two rookies or a flat 40. Category B rookies, including international or alternative talent signings, may still be outside those figures. And one complication is clubs such as Brisbane already have a higher number of players locked in for 2021, while the need to fill second-tier teams is another consideration.
Don't they? They really need to sort that out quickly, because there's lots of players who just don't know what's happening
just
with the future.
Just in limbo. It's not good.
They need to hurry up and say, this is what the cap's going to be, this is what the number is, and move on.
Yep.
The assistant coach cull has begun due to the soft cap reduction, with assistant coaches cut from Gold Coast 6, Hawthorne 6, Fremantle 2 and North Melbourne 4. Watch this space. There'll be more to come. Just on that, mentioning Fremantle, Darty McCrafty quit.
What's his name?
Darty McCrafty.
Who's Darty McCrafty?
That's his nickname.
I see.
Sam McCarthy.
No, that's that guy, the sook who wanted to come back from GWS.
Yeah, Cam McCarthy. Cam McCarthy.
He wanted to come home. No. That's
Darty McCrafty.
Yeah, move on. Who cares? Who cares? Not up to standard. Move on.
He signed
back at South Freo.
Oh, there you go.
He was never good enough.
No.
In sad news, Neil Satch has suffered a severe spinal cord injury in his second game of VFL for Footscray, has sadly passed away, age 69. After a glittering start to his career for North Adelaide in the Sandful, he crossed to the Bulldogs in the 1975 season. During his second game, he collided with a Fitzroy opponent, which left him a quadriplegic in a devastating end to his playing career.
He was a superstar.
I can remember that.
Yeah, he was a superstar in Adelaide. Came over for the Doggies, and it was sickening. This is why the AFL trying to rule out those hits to the head.
Yeah.
Because he just copped a knock on the head.
Bang.
Quadriplegic.
Gone.
Yeah.
Bill Stephen, who played 162 games with Fitzroy, including 53 as captain and coach. He had another two more stints as a coach of Fitzroy between 1965 and 1970 and 1979 and 1980, and Essendon between 1976 and 1977, died at the age of 92 last Sunday. In match review findings...
Just there, Billy Steven. A lot of listeners wouldn't know, but he is credited for actually the Fitzroy theme song.
Oh, is he?
He and a group of people actually penned it, and now is now the Brisbane Lions theme song with a few tweaks.
It's
my favourite song in the AFL.
Now, Walt, just before you go on to...
What?
Your favourite what?
I think that's the door. You better get out, Kate.
Now, I know there's...
Paris.
Oh, my God. Kate again.
What's your name? Grace? Grace?
Jeez. At least it's not calling yourself... calling me Craig, like yeah. I did to Grace.
I know there's lots and lots of fines, and we don't need to go to them. Every week there's the AFL. But the good thing is about those fines, they actually give it to charity, which is a good thing.
All I'm saying about these fines is Tom Lynch should have been suspended.
All I'd say about the MRO is Michael Christensen, move on.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think he just doesn't get it.
And you're missing the biggest piece of AFL news on every single talkback radio show every morning. Oh, where's the grand final being played?
Oh, I'm over that.
I couldn't give a rat's toss bag where the grand final's being played.
So long as we're in it. Just before we move over to you, Craig, for Blues News and Injuries, I just need to give a shout out to a friend of mine who lost his life this week. Good mate of mine, Wayne Holt, back in the junior days. Played Carlton under-19s, played a few games in the twos. All his mates have actually done a tribute for him because he's in Melbourne, so people can't go to the funeral. Did a tribute, did a cheers to Holty. All the best to Joanne and family, our condolences. We'll always remember the good times, Holty. So rest in peace, mate. There you go. Over to you, Craig.
Okay, well, we've got, for a start, got no ins and outs because there's no teams.
Not yet.
So,
but watch this space.
What?
You can say it if you want it.
No, you've got the news.
Yesterday's practice match, there was no Dow, Honey or Kennedy. Now, either they're just emergencies or there could be changes.
If they're emergencies, they don't play, do they?
No. Just in case something happens. Yeah. They did the same thing when they went to Darwin. Lachlan O'Brien didn't play and he was an emergency, travelling emergency.
I don't know who's got to come out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
they come out today at 3:20.
Yeah, so
this is probably the first time in my life that I've seen it actually being a competitive team, that it's actually hard to think, oh, who's going to come out? Because no one plays bad.
Which is great.
It's
great.
And he gets better, Paris. And he gets better.
Hang on, mate. Just one more. Hang on.
To the wing position on the stand side. Oh, just a late goal, you beauty!
There you go, mate.
I'm sure you said Bradford, you beauty.
Yeah. Now, listen, let's get that pronunciation correct this week, okay?
I have. Injuries. Charlie Curnow, knee, season.
Good boy.
Nick Newman, season. Brody Kemp, season. Ben Silvani, season. Liam Stocker, no one knows.
To be confirmed.
To confirm, so yeah. Matty Cruiser, 2 to 4 weeks. Jack Silvani, 2 to 4 weeks. Mitch McGovern, hamstring, 1 to 2 weeks. Caleb Marchbank with his knee a week.
Again.
I think in his case, say, look, get right for next year.
Just on Charlie Curnow, it was in a couple of the Facebook pages.
That he could play.
Against GWS.
No.
That's why.
I would put him in cotton wool next
year. They know better
year.
Than us, mate.
No. I want him right, ready to go next year. We're ready to go.
Wouldn't it be nice sitting in the forward line, Jim? And if sitting in, I won't play it again.
We can go, Curnow, you beauty!
Because all the close games and they need to rest people, who are they going to bring in? So it's a possibility.
If he's ready.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to injure him. Okay, just with some Blues news. It was revealed this week that our coach, David Teague, has been having some sessions with so-called coach whisperer, Charlie Stubbs.
Just a whisperer.
Okay.
Oh, I wasn't. What are you doing?
I thought there was a fault with me, Mike. Teague held belief sessions with Stubbs over the phone in the days leading up to the Blues' incredible after the siren win against Freo in round 12. Stubbs, who is based on the Gold Coast, was also spotted at Blues training this week, watching from afar alongside media crews before later speaking to Teague.
Today?
What was that, today?
Are you going to go on? Or?
I just lost where I was for a minute because that threw me off. Stubbs is no longer Stubbs is no stranger to the AFL circles after holding a one-off season session with Richmond coach Damien Hardwick in February 2017.
Harris, you mightn't remember these books. John and Betty books, they were. When you were in prep, you used to have to learn how to read John and Betty. Might have to get one for Craig.
John, hey, that might have been my problem. I don't remember that.
I was wondering where you were going with this.
I don't remember those books either. That might have been my problem.
That can tell. We can tell.
I have to have a talk to my mum later. Just months before he secured the Tigers' breakthrough flag, he also met with Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley when the Pies held a camp in Queensland some years ago. Tomorrow's game against Collingwood will be recognised as our 50th anniversary of the great grand final win over the Pies in 1970.
To the wing position on the left stand side. Oh, Jesselenko, you beauty!
Right on cue, because the Carlton website's been running highlights of that game and interviews with Jezza, Wolsey, etc. So if you haven't had a chance to see some of the footage, take a look at the Carlton website. Today is also the 50th anniversary of when Alex Jezza, Linko, your beauty, became the one and only 100-goal kicker for the club. It happened in his last home and away round of the season against Melbourne at the MCG, and Jezza bought up the ton by kicking his fifth goal early in the last quarter. He would finish the season with 115 goals. Not a bad effort.
Did you know that season there was three goal kickers that kicked over 100?
Really?
Peter Hudson kicked 146 for Hawthorne. McKenna for Collingwood kicked 143, and Jezza kicked 115.
Most important one was Jezza.
Correct.
The other two I don't worry about. Back Our Baggers is back on for the last time. An email was sent to all Carlton members during the week for a chance to have your name on the back of a player's jumper as part of the club initiative. The game will be against GWS next Thursday, so I'm waiting for my email. Liam Stocker has sent a message.
You want me to read it for you, or if you get it?
What?
It's okay. Go for it.
I might have to go read that book first. Liam Stocker has sent a message to all Carlton members and supporters. Just wanted to say a quick word of thanks to all those who haven't stopped supporting me and my journey. Some of the messages I have received have put a smile on my face, and I'm very grateful. Hopefully sooner rather than later, I'll be able to start repaying the favour. Liam is still in Melbourne on a training program designed by our head training coach, Andrew Russell.
Yeah, good to hear. Good to see him back. Probably not this year, but next year. Let's hope he gets over whatever issues are happening down in Melbourne.
Yes, fingers crossed. Hope it is.
Because he looked the goods last year when he played a few games for us.
Well-built lad, too.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, it's time now to go for a well-earned break with a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we cross live to dual premiership player Barry Gill as we relive the 1970 grand final victory over the Pies. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to dual Carlton Premiership player Barry Gill. Good morning, Barry, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. How are things over there?
Very good over here in Perth at the moment, Barry. Nice and sunny, and I believe it's nice and sunny in Melbourne today.
For a change, it has been. it is today, but it's been a bit miserable up until today.
Yeah.
So we're hoping we'll get into the spring weather.
Yeah, yeah. We have Alex's daughter, Kate Jasalinko, on every Saturday morning early.
And
And she told us that it's supposed to be beautiful, sunny and 21 degrees today in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's what we're hoping.
All right, Barry, tomorrow the game against the Pies would have been the 50th anniversary celebration of the great 70 grand final win. And normally you would have all gathered at the MCG to celebrate and watch the game. But during this strange time of year, do you have any plans, or is there like a Zoom get-together, or it's all shelved until next year?
Yeah, unfortunately, Chris, we're in lockdown. I'd love to have had a gathering of all of those players from the 1970, but unfortunately, because of the virus lockdown and things, we're unable to have that. So we're hoping that as soon as this clears up, we can have a gathering.
Yeah, that'll be great. One good thing, Barry, is we're going to have one of your ex-teammates and Carlton legend, City Jackson, join us tomorrow. We have a function at the Empire Bar over here in Perth where we're probably expecting, be 100-plus Carlton supporters. And
probably more.
And Sid's joining us to watch the game against the Pies.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. Give Sid my regards.
It certainly will.
Sure will.
I'll throw you over to the panel now, Barry, for a few questions.
Barry, how you going? Craig Bradford here.
Good on you, Craig.
Barry, you were destined to join the Blues as your Uncle Frank played fullback during the 1930s and played in the grand final win over the Pies in 1938. What was your journey to the Blues?
Well, I was born in Casterton in the Western District, and my brother John was destined to go to Carlton because of our family relationship there, and Uncle Frank at that time was living just not far from the ground, and as a result of that, John went down in 62, and I finished up going down in a couple of years later. I went to Teachers College and finished up staying with Uncle Frank for a number of years, and he, of course, obviously a great Carlton supporter, and gave us the in to get into the Carlton Football Club.
Interesting. That's good. Barry, you made your debut in round two in 1964 against the Hawks, one game after your brother John debuted the week before. What was the lead-up to the game like, and the game itself, and what was it like playing alongside your brother?
Well, it was very exciting because the whole family were interested in us, and Uncle Frank and all relations were there, and just to be in that situation was I feel absolutely blessed to be given the opportunity to play with a great club as it was. And as time went on, we improved, and of course in 65 Barras came, and that was really the makings of the club for the next quite a number of years.
Speaking about that, when you first arrived at the Blues, the club was going through its longest drought ever until Ron Barassi joins from Melbourne in 1965. What change was it when he arrived?
Well, there was a new administration. George Harris as president came in that era, or a little bit later, and with Barras there, it attracted some players and sort of lifted the morale of a lot of the older players. who had been there for a number of years, and they really knuckled down under Barass, who was a very strict, hard man, a coach, and you knew where you stood with Barass. And he was one of those people that was able to pick his mark with players. I know in my case, I used to think, oh, you so-and-so, you pick on me at training, I might train for the whole night, make one mistake and Brass would pick it up and say, righto, Gilly, 20 push-ups. And looking back on that era, I think, you know, Brass was the sort of person that could pick his mark. He knew that I would become more positive. Some players may have put their tail between their legs and said, well, you know what you can do. But Brass picked on me and I was able to take a positive attitude and work a little bit harder. And I give Brass credit for doing what he did to get the success of the team that came in 68 when we won the flag.
In 1968, we play off in the grand final against Essendon after we had comprehensively beaten them in the second semi-final by 36 points on a very windy day in Melbourne. It ended up being very close and tight struggle, but we win on the day by 3 points. How was the day and how were the celebrations after it, as it was the first premiership since 1947?
Yeah, well, that's right. It was, I feel blessed to be there with the success and to be in the first premiership for many, many years. And we were fortunate, I guess, that we did win it by 3 points, but that's history. And the celebrations, of course, were unbelievable. And it's different to what it is now, of course, where the players are professional. Then we had to work. We had to go to work on the Monday. And I must say I wasn't all that over-effective in going to work, but it's something we had to do because that was our living in that era. Yeah.
Hey, Barry, as mentioned, that was our first flag in 21 years. Back in those days, was the celebrations back at the Southern Cross Hotel?
Well, in that particular night, there was celebrations at the Southern Cross, but there were also celebrations after that and further on the Sunday. And it was back at the football club, Carlton Football Club, and those fond memories of those times with the players and the supporters and in my case, family members were there. And it was a great thrill and tremendous memories of that experience.
Yeah. Barry, in 1969, we again play off in the grand final, this time against the Tigers. The Tigers get off to a fast start, but at three-quarter time, we have the ascendancy and lead by 4 points. Did you expect to go on to win back-to-back flags?
I can't vividly remember, but, I mean, if you are in a final, you're there and you hope the destiny is to win. And we were in a position, it was hard, it was tough, and unfortunately, Richmond were a little bit too good in the finish, and good luck to them. I must say, we didn't celebrate anywhere near as we did, but it was the year was over, and we look forward to the next year. We look forward to picking up some extra players to make us a better team, and it was one of those things that it just happened. But by the same token, it was one of those things that success in 68. Disappointment in 69, they were character building exercise. And that's something, we look back on and say, well, we were there, we won, we lost, so be it. We look forward to the following year.
I tell you what, Barry, I can remember the 69 grand final. At three-quarter time, I thought we were going to get in because they jumped us and we got back and we got in front by a few points. But that last quarter, all I can remember is Billy Barrett coming out of the centre. Billy Barrett coming out of the centre. And they swamped us in that last quarter. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah, that's true. They did. And it was one of those things that that just happened. It's history now. And we look back on it. Okay, over and done with. Look forward to the future.
Before Craig asks his next question, Barry, I've been playing this all morning and I hope you can hear it too.
To the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, just a link! Oh, you beauty!
guilty.
Could you hear that, Barry?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't.
Oh, okay. What's his name?
Mike Williamson call of Jezalinko.
Because I'm now about to ask you, 1970, we played our third consecutive straight grand final, this time against the arch enemy Collingwood. Over 121,000 people packed the MCG for the game. What was the atmosphere like running out at that day?
I was just thinking about it before you rang, and the atmosphere to run out onto the ground, you almost felt as if you were floating on air. The 121,000 people, the ticker tape and the atmosphere in the fantastic MCG was just unbelievable. And it's something that you really never forget. You look back on that era and the number of people there and the players' attitude was just so positive. And, of course, I give Barras a lot of credit for that. Because he had a successful career and he knew what to do in the final series. And in that particular game, we were 44 points down at half time. And I must say, when we went into the rooms, everyone felt a little bit flat, I think. And Barras, in his way, completely different approach to what he'd had in previous games. You know, there wasn't the ranting and raging for the whole of the halftime. He did let off a bit of steam in the early part of the halftime break and then sort of backed off and then came back with a completely different approach, which was so different to Barras's previous experiences.
Hey, Barry, was there anything special that Barassi said at halftime? Like, did he change games plans? Because we hear from other people, but was there anything that he said specifically at halftime?
Well, I can't recall any specific things. The difference was his attitude to the players. He was cooler, calmer. He said, we've got to be able to get the ball. We've got to take stock of ourselves, get the ball moving, whether it be in kicking long or whether it be in handball. You know, there's a lot of people saying that, Barras's only instruction was handball. That wasn't emphasised a great deal, but as it turned out, the effects of Barras's different approach, the players had a different, completely different approach and got the ball moving and we were able to get back into the game. And with Barras's attitude and, of course, the players with Jezza and City Jackson and Robert Walls, and these players were able to lift Wes Lofts at fullback because I was next to him, and it made all the difference with a different approach from Barras.
Yep, that's great.
What did that Jezalinko mark mean to the team in terms of inspiration to get up and come back?
Well, I mean, when you see something like that, I can't recall vividly seeing the mark, but many times on the television and films and things since then, it was certainly an inspiration. I mean, if a bloke can do that, then it lifts the players around, and of course, with all the other players with the same attitude. That was the thing, I think, that made the difference in the end of the game.
Just during the third quarter, we kicked seven goals in like 13 minutes with four goals from Ted Hopkins, who replaced Bert Thornley at half-time. But Collingwood fight back at three-quarter time and still lead by 17 points. What was said at three-quarter time by the super coach, Barassi?
Well, Barras had the same attitude. That he didn't rant and rage as he had done in the past, as I said before, but he was seemed to have a cooler, calmer attitude of saying, players, look, we've got back into the game. We've got to be able to take stock, move the ball quickly, which was the factor that got us back into it. And with Teddy Hopkins, I mean, Teddy didn't play a lot of games, but he's remembered for that game and good luck to him. But the other players around, like Big Nick and as I said, Sid Robert Walls and Ian Robertson and Gary Crane, these players lifted their game and were able to really take a more positive attitude towards the game.
Was there a specific point in that fourth quarter where you thought, yep, we've won this?
No, I must say, I was never overconfident of or thinking that we would be able to really come on and win the game. And it wasn't until the final kick and the final siren that, you know, it was a fantastic feeling. And again, you know, we were all exhausted. But the fact that the game is over and we've won it just gives you that added spirit and an added inspiration to enjoy the moment. Barry, and, of course, the crowd was just absolutely ecstatic, particularly the Carlton supporters. I don't know. I'd imagine Collingwood would be crying in their their drinks and so forth.
Who cares?
But we celebrate.
Yep, that's the main thing.
I can tell you, Barry, I was one of those ones going berserk as a Carlton supporter in the Western Stand. I'll tell you when I thought we'd actually finally were going to win the game. It was when Jezza swooped on that ball and half forward, and he kicked on his left foot and it bounced and bounced and bounced.
Bounced and bounced. I can see it.
Yeah. That's what I remember. And all the Carlton supporters were at the Western Stand end where it was, and they were just wheeling that ball. Come on, get through.
I thought we'd actually
going to go on and win that game. One thing, Barry, you in that game, you would have played on some of the best footballers that Collingwood have had. You would have had Desi Tudnam, Wayne Richardson.
Yep.
How did you go against those two? Because they were superstars in the game.
I remember, not so much in the grand final, but I remember playing a game out at Waverley, and I was playing Collingwood. We were playing Collingwood. I was playing on Tuddy, and up to half time, he'd hardly had a kick, and Brass has given me the greatest boost of all time. And I thought, geez, this is all right. Anyway, Tuddy, in the third quarter, kicked three goals. And at three-quarter time, Barras has given me a bloody roast.
he didn't give out a lot of tributes, did he, the old Barras back in the day?
No.
Anyway, Barry, look, mate, we're going to have to wrap it up there. Mate, you played 132 games for the Blues, two winning premierships along the way. On behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thanks very much for the great memories and for sharing some of your precious time with us today, mate.
Oh, that's a pleasure. It's one of those things, and this year in particular, being the 50 years, is one of those things that, you know, you've finished the game in 1970 and you think, geez, another 50 years, what will it be like? But we still love it. We still love to celebrate, and we'll celebrate when Carlton beat Collingwood tomorrow.
We will, mate.
All so right. will we.
Thanks for joining us, Barry.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Barry.
The time. And as we always say here, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Thanks Barry. Barry.
Good on you, boys. Thanks.
Right. No worries.
Thanks
bye.
For having me on.
Thank you, Barry. Bye. Barry Gill, very informative.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time nice once going. Again to go for a break with a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we throw an errant elbow straight into our regular segment, The Shirt Front. Live with the one and only David Rhys-Jones. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, David Rhys-Jones.
Jones plays. Oh, what a mark!
First time in my career I'd actually been given instructions to get out and whack someone.
He's been reported.
Rhys-Jones just came in.
I'm glad I'm in Melbourne.
Good morning, David, and how are you this sunny morning in Melbourne?
Yeah, only 2 weeks of this stage four lockdown to go, so hanging in there. It's not the easiest. Beautiful day today, but we can't do anything. That's the problem. So, yeah, nice sunny day over here. But anyway, we'll do what we have to do for this 6 weeks, and then we'll let loose after that, I think.
Mate, the good thing is the numbers are dropping, which is great, and they're under 100 for the first time. So let's just hope that they go quicker and quicker so they can actually, you can get out of that lockdown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think they're on top of it. You know, I think everyone's doing the right thing, so all good.
Yeah, good to hear.
But the good thing is, Dave, that the we're up and about the Blues. We've got two in a row, and hopefully tomorrow we can take the Pies down.
Yeah, the arch enemy tomorrow. Yeah. It's interesting, you know. I mean, you sort of think about it, and you think with both teams as they are, you know, would have been 80,000 to 90,000 the MCG. Easily, you know, I would have packed it out. And it's going to be a great match anyway. And you know, very, very important for both teams. I think the team that wins this is going to give themselves a real chance of playing finals. And they, unfortunately, the one who loses, I think their finals race will just about be snuffed. So that's how important it is. And Teague is talking up finals still, so good to hear.
And on that, realistically, without having your Carlton hat on, who do you actually think's got to win tomorrow? Carlton. Thinking of both their forms and their teams that they have.
Yeah, look, they've got some major outs, and you know, side bottom having to go home too is a bonus in a lot of ways. But De Goey and a few others, you know, they're a bit decimated at the moment, so it's a great time to be playing them in such an important game, and it's really going to be up to our boys to stand up and be counted, because I think they'll be expected to win, and you know, I think, you know, Carlton supporters will be sitting back thinking, you know, this is the best opportunity we're going to have. And yeah, so, you know, they're in good form, playing good footy, so no excuses.
David, you would have played in some big games against the Pies, as you mentioned, at the G with 80,000 to 90,000 there. What was it like as a Carlton player to play against that arch enemy, and was it drilled into you, you can't lose to this mob?
Yeah, yeah, it's funny. A couple of years ago, Brendan Bolton actually asked me to speak to the players just before a game, and I actually said to him, I was nervous. I've never been nervous sort of in my life, but I spoke to the boys before the game, and I've done the day before. And what I said to him, I said, look, this is one for your supporters. This is, you know, because we go out to win every week sort of thing. But this is the one your supporters want you to win. And this is the one, you know, I said, but when you walk off the ground after beating them, you'll see the smiles on the face of the Carlton supporters. And that'll be as good as, you know, almost as good as winning the flag sort of thing. So, yeah, that's the couple that you have to win. But the great thing about playing in them, especially at the MCG, is playing in front of a big crowd and getting used to that atmosphere, because it never really mattered where the two teams were on the ladder. The atmosphere was always electric, and as I said, you know, there was a little bit in those games that you just, you know, and they did too. They had a, you know, hatred towards Carlton, and And I think that's intensified since Eddie's taken over as president, because he doesn't like Carlton at all.
Yeah. Look, it's probably the biggest Carlton-Collingwood game in years, because, like, we've been down for a while and it's really hasn't been... Even though, we love to beat Collingwood, they love to beat us. But this one has a lot at stake. Probably the biggest one in over 10 years, this one.
Yeah, and I think they're only one win off catching us in those head-to-head race as well. So, it'd be nice to get a couple up on them and not let them draw level with us. Very, very important game. And I'll be interested to see what happens at the selection table too. I haven't, what they actually do there. I think Kennedy's due back. I think he'll be okay. But, I think there's a few boys who look a little bit jaded, might need a break. And, Eddie Betts sort of, fumbled a bit last week and just rare signs that, boys just need a little break and then freshen him up and get him right for the rest of the season. Hmm.
Yeah, we were just talking about that bit earlier about the three that weren't named in the reserves practice match.
Who were they? I didn't know.
Kennedy,
Dow, and Honey.
Yeah.
I think Kennedy would be a definite in.
Well, in Teague's interview yesterday morning, it was asked, is Kennedy up? And he said he's right and he's up. So I don't know if that means he's in, but...
Yeah,
he didn't play in the reserves game.
I'm going to sway a little bit different to you. I think leave Eddie in. I think this game just might be the game he gets that spark. The big game, he was thereabouts last week.
He just kept fumbling.
The ball was so greasy though, and sweaty.
But you looked at Wiedering and Jones; they didn't have any problem.
Casbolt was clunking them. But I think the biggest battle is going to be in the centre. I'm interested to see how Pinterest and De Koning go against their... That's him. See, I don't even know who he is because he plays for Collingwood. But
he's a good footballer, Craig.
Yeah, I know, but he plays for Collingwood. And hopefully Cripper and these guys can stand up as well too. I think that's where it's going to be won tomorrow, in the middle.
Yeah, and they're very strong in there as well. They get the skipper Pendlebury back in there, so he makes a huge difference to Collingwood and the way they just the way they line up. And he's a gun player, so I'd put Ed Curnow on him to just try and nullify him as much as possible.
Yes,
he's such an outstanding footballer and can really, really, really hurt when he gets the ball. So. We have to look out for that. But our midfield's been in pretty good form, and a lot of players going through there have been playing well too. So, right across that whole centre area, Walsh is starting to, play some good footy. Jack Martin's just sees something special.
He's a gun, isn't he?
He is a gun. Hopefully he can, continue on for years to come, because he's only going to get better. And once the players around him understand him, I suppose, a little bit more, and that comes with playing, probably 30, 40, 50 games together. He's an outstanding talent, so watch him play.
And Buckley's been really quiet all week about who's playing in their forward line. Is Stevenson going to come back in, or who's going to be there? Is Mason Cox going to keep his spot? What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I don't really care about Collingwood. I look more at us and how we structure up and how we play. And our back line has been superb. I mean, you mentioned Wiedering and Jones leading the way back there, but our back line, has really, really been hard to score against this year. And I think that's, that's the base of a good team, and when you go into finals, you've got to have a strong defence, or you're going to get hammered. So, I think we've been pretty good this year,
mate. Leading in from the back line that you just mentioned, it's just come on all over social media, and I know this is rumour and everything else, but Riley Beveridge from the AFL has just put on an article that Carlton has emerged as a leading contender for star GWS free agent Zach Williams. He'd be all right coming off the halfback flank.
Yeah. Look, I think they've, they've put SPS back there to try and drive that. And when he gets a ball, he's terrific. But I don't know whether he's suited back there. I worry about him. So,
at times. But, yeah, look, I think he's more an attacking type player. And you know, I'd rather see him down the forward line. But obviously we've got too many small forwards down there at the moment. But I'd love to see him have a big game, Sam, because he's a very, very talented player. And I just think he's just been a little bit... little bit down this year, but he's probably been the only one on the back line. You know, Simo and Doherty have been fantastic, and it's been very solid back there.
Yeah, I think SPS, he played his best game against the Bulldogs when he was in the guts.
Yep.
I think that's if they can rotate him somehow through there, rest him up forward, or rest him on a wing, but he just seems to have that class and the time. He can step aside, duck, weave. He's just more suited to the middle, I think, personally.
Yeah, I think middle and forward, but, you know, the spots are sort of limited down there at the moment as well. And, you know, if they were to give Eddie a spell, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, down on the half-forward flank and rotating through that midfield. Adds another dangerous player in there.
Dave, is it not that they're trying to groom him as that replacement for Simo when he goes? But I agree. I think his best footballer is in the centre. Mm. But maybe, as you said earlier, that they need someone with a bit of class coming out of that half-back line to deliver passes. But when he gets the ball, he's class, but he does those little dinky kicks instead of kicking through, and sometimes he just turns that ball over. But that's my opinion. Do you think that's what they're trying to do with him? Or?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I think you know, we had Chris Yaron, you know, a few years back, coming off that half-back line.
How good was he?
You know, he was fantastic in that area. But and maybe they were looking at something similar, but it just hasn't quite gelled. And I actually watched his interview with Sid Jackson a couple of weeks ago, where they did a catch-up call or something.
Yeah, I've seen that
and
one.
And he just sounded like he didn't really want to be on the back line. And that's what come through to me anyway in that interview. Because he actually asked Sid where he played and half forward flank sort of thing, and as if to say, you know, I'd love to be down here, you know, as a number five running around the forward line. So, yeah, it just sounded like he didn't want to be there.
We were talking about this earlier, and we had a huge debate whether he should, whether he shouldn't, but there's been a bit come out in social media that Charlie Kernow might be able to play by the time we play GWS. What's your thoughts? Do you think they should risk him? Or
it's only next week.
Is it next week?
I'd find that hard to believe. But
I'd rest him.
And it probably, you know, I wouldn't take a risk. I really wouldn't take a risk at this stage. You know, we're not going to win the flag this year, but
exactly what I said.
Next year we could be able to give it a crack. So yep. That's when you'd hate to lose him for another 12 months or so, or something happened to him. And I think put him in cotton wool and worry about him next year.
We didn't see any short turnarounds in that first stint of the footy festival, as we had just the three weekend games. How do you think we're actually going to cope with short turnarounds and, you know, four day breaks?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, footy is tough. And I was actually talking to someone. I don't need the tipping competitions and that much. But I was actually saying about, you know, Gold Coast last week coming off 2 4-day breaks. And you know, I mean, you know, we really should have probably won by 10 goals. And it was a great win. But it's very, very hard backing up these days, because the game is so much about, you know, getting from... And the running capacity these days. So that's the hard thing. And if you can't make it, or you're starting to tire, you know, teams will just tear you apart. So it's really, you know, a good one for the conditioning coaches these days to get the teams up and going, you know, after those short breaks.
Yeah, well, the big one's tomorrow, mate, but we better wrap it up there. As always, thank you for giving up your time and sharing your thoughts on the match. And as we always say here, Dave, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Thank you.
That's it. Let's flog those Magpies. Go Blues.
Let's do it. Pluck Thanks, their mate. Feathers.
Take care. Look after yourself and the family, yep. Dave.
See you,
Dave.
Cheers.
David Rees-Jones,
great
always
bloke, isn't he?
Excellent.
Good bloke.
All right, Paris, we better get on to the last few games of this round.
Yep, so Power versus Swans at Adelaide Oval this morning. I'm going to go for Power.
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 Dockers Giants are Optus this afternoon.
Giants.
Dockers.
Demon Ooh. Saints at TIO. Saints. Blues Pies at the Gabba tomorrow, Arvo.
Blues. Blues.
Suns Roos at Metricon tomorrow, Arvo.
Suns.
I'm going the Roos.
Yeah, okay. That's
all right. I'm going to just. It's my turn for this weekly whack.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Okay, let me go. My whack this week goes out to the keyboard warriors and, in particular, the Essendon fans. Once again, you so-called heroes who hide behind a keyboard and threaten people's lives and give advice on suicide suggestions. Really? Yes, I'm talking about the Essendon idiots who have once again bombarded social media after the incident during last Saturday night's Dreamtime game where Dylan Grimes took a dive and was paid a free kick which denied Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody a late goal in the second quarter. This is not the first time the Essendon Nuffies have taken to social media after a game which they have lost. Remember round 10 when GWS Callum Ward was awarded a free kick, which he kicked a goal to seal the win? He too was subjected to death threats and harm to his child, and you guessed it, Essendon fan once again. When will people grow up and learn this is a game? Yes, we're all passionate about our team and we love to win, but to threaten harm on people is ridiculous. Wake up, Essendon fans, and anyone else who hides behind their keyboards and threatens people with harm. It's just not on. That's my whack. And, to go on, two males were arrested and charged with stalking and other offences after Dylan Grimes reported the online threats to himself and family. Let's hope that sends a message to the keyboard warriors.
That's good, because how can they have a go at someone for taking a dive when Matthew Lloyd played for them?
Anyway,
he was the biggest diver out.
Paris, tell us about this function we got on tomorrow.
Sorry.
Yeah, so as we know, tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. we take on Collingwood. So from 12:30 at the Empire Bar, 220 Great Eastern Highway, we will be watching the Carlton-Collingwood clash with Sid Jackson. It'll be our family day, so there'll be a face painter, games, prizes for kids. I think we've got a colouring in competition.
Sure we do.
I'm on end of that.
And we've also, we'll hear a lot of this. Oh, we'll hear a lot of this.
To the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, just a link goal!
You're guilty.
Hopefully we see someone like Casbold or Jack Martin take a huge screamer.
Eddie Betts.
And remember last year, we got the great man City Jackson down there tomorrow. Last year he came down there. It was fantastic.
He was a great bloke.
Every WA Blue bagger, get down to the Empire tomorrow. The Empire have great food specials.
Oh, the best food.
Food specials, drink specials.
$6 Carlton drafts.
They also have $6 wines for the ladies and different other specials, all put on especially for us. I think the game starts at 1:35, so you probably want to get there early enough so you can have your lunch, settle in, get ready for the big game. We're going to have raffles.
Yeah, we've got the David Rees-Jones.
The great
raffle.
Man from our show, David Rees-Jones. He signed Guernsey with a certificate of authenticity. Make sure you get down there.
Look good at my ass.
There's no excuse. The weather's going to be beautiful. The club helped us out, sent an email to all WA Blues members and followers in Perth.
Yep.
You got the email. You know when it's on. Get down there. We need all the support to beat the enemy.
To the wing position on the member stand side. Oh, just a link. Oh, you're guilty.
I just thought I had to play it one more song, one more time. But anyway, we're at the end. I can see Craig stepping up.
Here I go. The lungs are going.
All right. Thanks again for another great show, guys. Always, thanks to Kate Jezelenko, our great mate David Rees-Jones. Special guest interview, which I thought was great.
That was fantastic.
He was brilliant.
So remember, keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM. And as always,
go Blues.
Go Blues.
And
they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Guard.